think I lost page 14. Oh, no. Scare you? Merry Christmas. It's my gift to you. But I have the other 21, so don't worry about it. Recently, I had the occasion of speaking with my oldest brother and his wife on the phone. They're back in the deep freeze of Michigan. And in speaking to them, we got around to talking about what the plans were for Christmas. They told me they were going to travel to see their grandchildren in Detroit, to see them in the local parish's nativity play on Christmas Eve. And their granddaughter, Claire, is a quiet, gentle 6-year-old who was cast in the role of Mary. Claire, from the rehearsals, I understand, takes her role very, very seriously. And she believes that when she looks into that manger, she's looking at the Christ child. And that the Christ child, in a baby doll, is looking back at her. Her younger brother, Joey, was cast as one of the shepherds. Now, Joey is all boy. He's 4 years old. His middle name is Mischief. It's part of his DNA. Even when he's not acting out, it shows on his face. He's up to something, even if it's in his mind. Well, my brother and sister-in-law were kind of laughing hysterically as they're telling me the story of how Joey called them to invite them to come to the nativity play. And he said, Claire gets to be Mary. And my brother and sister-in-law asked about his role in the play. And he blurted out, I just get to be a lousy shepherd. A lousy shepherd. What a perspective from a 4-year-old. Well, I searched the scriptures and I didn't see any description of lousy shepherd. I don't know where he got that from. You know, there's nothing in the description of this Christmas story about a lousy shepherd. So, you know, it could be from what we know of shepherds in general. Shepherds don't look like the shepherds here or in any nativity scene you ever have laid eyes on or ever will again. You know, shepherds had this sordid reputation in society. They were outcasts, first of all. Father Jim and I were talking about it last night. I'll tell you the story later. but, you know, because they watched their flocks throughout the night, and it was a 24/7 operation, they couldn't go to the temple. And so, in not fulfilling their obligation to worship in the temple, they were outcasts. They were sinners. So they were looked upon as sinners. They were not so upstanding. They weren't so moral as we might think they might be. Most of them were pretty smelly and rank, living among sheep. And there were no holiday inns where they kept their flocks. They were the common folk. They were the lowly. They were the poor. They were the outcast of Palestinian society. They were tough, they were earthy characters, and they easily and fearlessly swung their clubs against wolves and against poachers. But lousy? If they were so lousy, if I could have an adult conversation with Joey, I'd say, if they were so lousy, Joey, then why did an angel come to them? Why did a whole multitude of the heavenly hosts come to them in the Christmas story, as we just heard it proclaimed? Who were these people? Well, they were not like the others in the gospel story, the Christmas story. You know, there were others who were in the story that were given even the dignity of a name: Mary, Joseph, Herod, Caesar. Even the place was named Bethlehem. Even the star in the heaven was indicated by a name. But the shepherds were unnamed. And Luke's account that we heard here gives us no indication of who these people were, how many there were, whether they were 2 or 20, where they came from, or where they went after the fact. So why should the shepherds be the first ones? Interesting that they were the first ones to hear the good news to all the people, the gospel says. This was good news to all the people, but you're the first. You're the lousy shepherds who we've come all this way to give this good news to. Their counterparts in the Jewish society, the Pharisees and the scribes, regarded shepherds as disreputable, untrustworthy. They were ill-bred rustics, second and third class citizens. They were barred from courts and from the synagogue. But they were the working poor. They were the just getting by. They were the people who worked the night shift. And they had perhaps little to offer a Christ child, a Savior. Maybe a few eggs, some old pieces of mutton. But God's wisdom somehow chose them as the ordinary people, lousy as they were. God chose them to represent all of us, the lousy. God came for the lousy. You know, we're called sinners elsewhere. We might want to consider ourselves lousy in the sense of needing a Savior. Otherwise, why would God come if we don't need a Savior? If we're not lousy, maybe Joey has some insight here, that we are sinners. We're in need of redemption. We're in need of a Savior and Lord of our lives. And that God came for the ordinary, for the working class, for the second and third rate citizen, for those who work the night shift, for those who struggle, for those who are poor and unnamed, for those of every gender, every race. The scripture says for all people. So regardless of youth or of age, or of orientation or of color or creed or gender or status or privilege. God came for all the lousy people of the earth. But God, what I'd say to Joey is, didn't leave us lousy. God enriched us. God raised us up to a new dignity and gave us the dignity of being one of God's people. People who have hope, people who have joy, people who have light in the light, in the life of darkness that we sometimes lead. Hope in the despair that sometimes overtakes us and overpowers us. God redeemed the lousy. And God made of all people and continues to make of all people a gift to return to Him. Certainly on Christmas Day, as we come searching for that gift again, we come to offer our gift, the gift of ourselves, and ask again, over and over and over, to be redeemed, to be renewed, to be enlightened once more, to be joyful in the fact that God has come to give us dignity through this event. Even if we feel lousy. I started to allude that I had said something to Father Jim last night. We were having this conversation. I'll finish it. So at 7 o'clock, what you need to know is Father Jim always walks in right at the end of Mass. He waits over here until I do the announcements. Then he walks to the back so he can greet all of you. Well, he was standing here last night, and I was telling everybody to have a lousy Christmas. He hadn't heard the homily. He almost fainted. I think he thought that I had really lost it at that point, and that this was it. This was the last Mass I'd ever do here. Hi, Father Jim. But on behalf of Father Jim and all the staff and those who continue to serve the needs of all of you and this parish, I'd like to extend to you our warm greetings, our blessings for a very happy, holy, and safe holiday today. We stand to conclude.